All around the country this time, a great many Thanksgiving parades are held, and they feature those great big mammoth balloons of people and things. And the Mummers I know down in Philadelphia and Macy's here in New York have great big parades. We thought it might be interesting to call in Wally Ballou, who has gone up to the factory where they make those great big balloons, and talk to the man who does it. So, Wally, if you're listening, come in, please.
This is Wally Ballou speaking from a Thanksgiving Day balloon factory. And all of the big balloons outside only represent a few of the many that will be seen in cities throughout the country this coming week in the parade. Some standing 50, 60 feet high or so. And here's a man who has a lot to do with them. Sir, just what is it that you do?
First of all, Mr. Ballou, I design them, and then I get together all the rubber and put them in molds, and then, of course, the final job is to paint them and then blow them up. Now, this one that we're working on here is a great big balloon of an elephant. This will go almost 80 feet in the air, go up 8 floors.
You hold it down there by those strings that you have on the end of it, huh?
That's right, and as they go up the street, these strings are all tied to a truck. And they pass through the streets. It causes a great deal of amazement, particularly with the young ones. When you feel that this would fill an entire city block, you can imagine how much air goes into one of these
babies.
That's
right. You certainly couldn't blow them up by hand.
Oh, no. No, indeed not. No, you have to blow these up with machines.
What is that over there, a brontosaurus or a pterodactyl?
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean by that.
That's the big one over there at the end of the building.
That's just a plain dog, but the size of it makes it look like
looks
one of those
like
prehistoric animals.
Pterodactyl or something like that.
Yes, but if you're standing up the street, you can see that it looks just like a dog.
You're just about to inflate this one here that's laid on the floor, is that right?
That's right. When I get through, this is an elephant. This will be 80 feet tall, be 35 feet wide, and will contain over 1 million cubic feet of air.
Well, it's rising off the floor. It's about half filled with some kind of gas that you use.
Regular air.
Regular air, huh?
Just plain air. We get it from outdoors.
Is that so? That's a good, inexpensive way to do it, I guess.
That's right. All right, we're going to start to put the air in. All right, Eddie, let's go up. How long do you have?
Well, we just have a very short time.
Well, speed it up. Let's fill this elephant real quick.
Now, it's getting filled up quicker. Yeah, there's his trunk and his big floppy ears.
Speed it up a little, Eddie. That's it.
This is tough.
Stand back there, Ballou. You're a little too close because it's going to fill up this
Boy, you can hardly turn around in this place after you get one of these things filled
up. Keep moving back.
Oh. That bus pushing me right past the wall. Oh. How much more you got to put in there?
Oh, about another 1,000 cubic feet. That does it, I guess. That'll just about do it. Now, this is all set to take it down, put on spray.
Well, it's eating time.
That's right, Arthur.
And Tony, who are you?
My name is Fred.
Well, where's Tony? He's usually here.
Well, Tony is sick, and they sent me over to replace him for you, Arthur. Well,
did they tell you what you're supposed to do?
That's right, Arthur.
Your duties will be here?
That's right, Arthur. They told me to say that a lot.
Well, this is our eating portion with all of the guests.
That's right, Arthur.
You don't have to say that quite so often, Fred.
Right,
all of our guests handed out little luncheons to help them get through the day. And what do we have today, Tona and Fred?
Arthur, the first thing, everyone has a little paper cup filled with grandmother's mincemeat sent over from me.
So fast. You've got to make this thing last for about 3 minutes.
That's right, Arthur.
If I were you, I wouldn't say that too often, fella. I've been on the show a long time.
I'm sorry. They also, for each and every member of the audience here, Earmuffs from the Earmuff Institute of North America.
Earmuffs. That's all right for a chilly day, huh?
That's right, Arthur. And also there's...
Do we have any little paper cups of coleslaw?
No, we don't, Arthur. They were supposed to come, but they didn't get here. Arthur. That's right, Arthur.
Told you once, and I'm not going to tell you again. You don't need to keep saying that's right, Arthur. You just say it once in a while. So everybody gets a pair of socks, is that right?
That's right, Arthur. Everyone gets a pair of socks, and they're all through the courtesy of somebody here.
All right, well, let's have
a handwritten note.
Okay, let's have a little bit of music or something while we all... Don't leave
those
wrappers... I was going to tell them about the paper bag.
That's right, Arthur.
You don't need to remind me of things because I have it all down here in notes. They'll all get a paper bag to take home there.
And don't forget to tell them not to put anything on the floor.
I already have told them not to put anything on the floor.
What do you mean?
Just go over there and sit down.
It's a very great pleasure for us to welcome another great baseball figure to our Bob and Ray booth this afternoon. One of the great first basemen of all time with the old Highlanders, I guess.
Frank,
what?
The old Highlanders.
And later manager, Frankie Papp. Frank, it's a pleasure to have you in here today.
Pleasure to be back, and I would like to say that I enjoyed that anecdote very much.
Well, tell me, Frankie, you've got quite a few anecdotes of your own.
Great many anecdotes. I have found through the years that baseball anecdotes go down through the years.
That's right.
If it happened to happen to Doubleday in 1890, it's sure going to happen to Walt Dropo in 1965.
Well, I guess that stands to reason. Frankie, tell us what you remember as one of the most maybe embarrassing moments you ever had on the playing field.
Well, it's an anecdote much like Leo told here recently on your program. And I was the first day I was in the big leagues. I came up to bat the first time up. I was a little shaky up there, and I was a little slow on getting signals at the time.
Sure.
I was trying to remember them. It was my first day. I remember the third base coach had tipped his hat. That meant something.
And sure.
The first baseman would bend over and pick up a stone. That meant something.
That's right.
And so forth.
Go ahead. There you were, standing up there and trying to remember the signals and trying to figure
out. Well, I was up at bat. I swung left-handed. And the pitch out there to mound, I don't know if you remember him.
No, I don't. But go ahead.
And he was out there. He wound up and he let them come in there. I could hardly... Well, in fact, I couldn't see it.
Uh-huh.
And the stands around me. Send the bump back.
Kind of trying to rattle you a little bit, Frankie, huh?
That's right. And behind the plate, you probably remember him, the umpire.
Yes, I do.
And those three high hard ones, they went right by me, three called strikes. Well, I was mad. I took my bat and I threw it way up.
Uh-oh.
Way up.
Pretty outward sign of anger there.
It went up above the second tier of stands.
Uh-huh.
And the umpire said to me, young man, I was a young man then.
Sure.
He said, young man, if that bat comes down... You're out of the game.
Well, there's a real baseball story, if I ever heard one. And I know that you've got a lot more, Frankie Papp, but it certainly has been nice talking to you today.
It's been swell.
And that'll go into the annals, I'm sure. Thanks for dropping by.
Will this be buried in Washington?
Say, friends, here's a very interesting interview that we made just a day or so ago. Not far up the Hudson River from New York is a fellow who has dedicated himself to bunny exterminating, and we thought it was very interesting, and we might take a few minutes to talk with him. Would you spin the tape, please? Hello, everybody. I'm speaking just up the river here from New York, where we're talking with a bunny exterminator. His name is Robin Pickett. Robin, isn't this a rather... inopportune time to be engaged in such activities.
Well,
Easter Sunday,
yes, but we don't try to really exterminate them. We just try to scare them.
In other words, you don't actually try to kill the bunny.
No,
What you try to do is stun them, is that right?
That's right. Scare them away from the farmers' co-ops.
What kind of co-ops or crops do they attack usually, sir?
Well, anything green, like sour greens and...
How about tulips? I mean tulips.
What's that? Tulips, yes. Cowlips.
Cowlips?
Tulips.
Golly,
stuff that makes a... I beg your pardon.
Golly, Wobbin, I was going to say, is that lipstick on your collar?
Lipstick? Well, my collar?
Looks like
I
it.
I don't see it, no.
Well,
We use swing shots.
You use the regular slingshot.
That's right.
And this more or less stuns the bunny, is
no,
that it?
No, we don't hit the bunny unless we take particular good aim, and that's by accident. We only try to scare them away from Farmer Brown's strawberry patch.
Is that the farmer's name?
No, that's hypothetical.
Oh, it's the hypothetical Farmer Brown.
That's right. Could be Farmer Jones. Could be Farmer...
Gray.
No, it wouldn't be Farmer Gray.
Oh. Well, whoever it would be a farmer.
That's right. And we get paid for this kind of work.
Well, do you wear traditional bunny exterminating clothing when you go on a job?
Well, we try to camouflage ourselves so we look like wabbits. As you notice, these long ears are not mine. This is part of my costume.
Uh-huh. But that cottontail is yours, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, sir, it's been a pleasure talking with you, and I don't know when we've had a more
I'm
idiotic...
I'm crazy, incidentally.
Yeah, sure. Well, we accept that, and I don't know when I've had a crazier interview. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll switch back to...
Say hello to Mr. Elliott when you get back there.
Golly, I will.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bob and Ray Insomniac Fifth. Today, for the first time on radio, the soundtrack from a 1931 motion picture, Varsity Variety, starring Fatso Cromwell as the hero at State University. We'll be ready to go in just 30 seconds.
Well, wait a minute. Forget the 30 seconds. We couldn't sell this bomb, so let's get right to the movie.
There are no commercials, ladies and gentlemen, so we'll get right to the soundtrack of Varsity Variety.
Hey, Eddie!
Yeah?
What dorm are you in this fall?
B7.
Oh, yeah? I'm over at Muldoon Hall.
Hey, you going to play in the big game Saturday?
I don't know. It all depends on what I get in my grades.
Yeah, well, the coach has been pretty strict about that.
Yeah, the new director of athletics. I don't know, he's pretty tough. I don't know how to figure him. Say, I have to bone up on my chemistry or I won't play in the big game against Tech.
It's going to be a big game between State and Tech Saturday.
Yeah.
Wish I could play instead of being just a water boy.
Well, you're puny, aren't you?
Yeah. I feel just like Johnny Downs sitting there on the bench all the time.
Well, you puny guys seem to get all the girls at the dance anyway.
Works out that way.
We football heroes show up, you know, with adhesive tape on our face and like that and a couple of teeth out.
Yeah.
The girls don't go for it.
Well, you don't look so attractive that
way. I don't know about that song. You know, I'd like to be a football hero.
Yeah.
But... the way it goes.
Well, I'll see you over the malt shop.
Like
later.
A bee on a football. Thorns! Whatever your name was.
Coach?
Yeah?
I'm the director of athletics here.
Well, I hope you won't be interfering with
the
game here.
I just have the chemistry grades on McGlinchey.
Yeah, what about McGlinchey?
Get him out of uniform. I don't care what he is. His chemistry grades are not up to snuff.
You
They're not up to the standards of State.
You mean McGlinchey can't play today? Why, we'll lose the game.
He not only will play, he'll be on the 5 o'clock train home. But bum.
Well, Coach, I got the water pails here. Gee, I wish you'd let me play today. I got into this uniform just in case.
Stevie, I think I may have to use you.
Why, what do you mean?
McGlinchey flunked his chemistry grade.
McGlinchey? You mean McGlinchey won't be playing today?
I'm afraid he won't be in the... He won't be...
But he's a...
I know
he's
a... Of course he is.
You mean I might get...
Shut up. Go on in there and get McGlinchey's suit.
Right, Coach.
They got all of him in McGlinchey's suit.
Oh, you guys shut up now. Coach has given me my big chance.
But please, it's down on the ground there.
Yeah, well, you'll see. All this season, I wanted to play football. Now
what
I
are you going
to
say? 7 foot in
the just shut up.
You're going to be on our team? Go on over and play with Tech, will you? We want to win this one.
Yeah, you'll be laughing the other way. Hello, Margie.
Hello.
See you standing here right outside the locker room.
What are you doing in McGlinchey's suit?
Well, McGlinchey can't play. His grades weren't good enough, so the coach is putting me in.
Putting you in place of McGlinchey?
That's right.
Ha, ha.
Oh, yeah, well, you'll be laughing a different tune after the game.
The suit doesn't even fit you. You'll be smeared.
Okay, let's go.
And who's that out on the field now, taking McGlinchey's place? What was his name? My spotter says that,
he's a little puny guy. I think he's wearing McGlinchey's suit.
Yes, it's Stevie, and he's wearing McGlinchey's suit. There's the ball spun back to him, and he starts off down toward the Tech goal. He's running. He's running.
Look at that.
I've
Tech
never
goal.
Seen anything like this, ladies and gentlemen. It's one of the greatest runs I've ever seen.
Congratulations, Stevie.
Thanks, Coach.
I never realized you were really serious.
Sorry
about
I can't
football.
Stay around, Coach. I got a date with Martin.
My hero!
And so ends today's soundtrack at the Insomniac Theater, Varsity Variety. Next week, another exciting first-run feature, this time dealing with the underworld, entitled It Came From Out of the Sink.
Presents another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode entitled Fixing the Family Sandbox is taken from Book 11, Chapter 14, pages 19, 20, 21, and the bottom of page 7. As we look in on the family, we find Father standing just outside the kitchen door and Fanny, too. And we see Fanny.
Fanny, have you seen my Heber?
You what?
My hammer. There's a loose board on the sandbox.
Well, I believe it's down in your toolbox. It's where you always put those things when you get through with them.
Nonsense.
If you put it back when you got through with it last time.
Nonsense. I always put my tools back after I use them. That's the sign of a good mechanic.
That's what?
Huh? I said that's the sign of a good mechanic, a good carpenter.
Oh, well, yes.
Any good workman.
Well, yes, but if it's not there, then
well,
where would it be?
If a cement mason, I'd put my trowel away. If I was a carpenter, my hammer and saw. If I were an automobile mechanic, my Sturgeon wrench.
You know, you're really an awful bore sometimes, Daddy.
You take up
more time with some of these things that you really shouldn't.
All I'm trying to do is find my hammer, Daddy.
Well, if you'd put your hammer back the last time you used it, it would be if you were a good mechanic, as you say. It would be in the toolbox, would it not?
Here it is, right here. Well, what was I going to do with it?
You know, you've been standing on my foot now almost 5 minutes.
Oh, sorry, Fanny. My mind has been busy with thoughts of filling the sandbox. Getting it ready for the children for this weekend.
What?
Getting the sandbox ready for the children.
Oh, yes. Well, that would be nice. Yes, that would be nice.
They're coming down from the ranch to visit us for the weekend.
Why don't you move the sandbox over to the shady spot?
There's a bit of sunshine never did anybody any harm, if any.
Well, do you want to fight about everything I say?
But the sandbox is heavy.
Well,
take a team of horses to pull it over to that shady spot.
All right, then.
By the time we get there, the sun will be past the shady spot.
Yeah.
Get the picture?
Oh, now, don't get smart. I've got the picture all right. Just do what you want to do and don't bother me none.
Fendi, Fendi, Fendi.
been listening to One Fella's Family, brought to you by Panucci, with or without nuts, the greatest name in fudge. Today's episode, entitled Fixing the Family Sandbox, was taken from Book 11, Chapter 14, pages 19, 20, 21, and the bottom of page 7. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. And now, by appointment, to come Prince Ludwig, we bring you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Wrapping the Gifts, taken from Book XXXI, Chapter XI, pages X12, X111, and X1V, and the bottom of R15. As we look in on the family, we find them standing just inside the bathtub door.
Well, we're right in the middle of wrapping all of the presents that we purchased. The life of one will be happy when it is all over. Yes. And this was that ribbon, Fanny.
What did you want?
Some more of that red ribbon.
Red ribbon. Well, like you get me talking like you.
Yes.
Honestly.
I hope we have enough stickers to last.
Yeah.
What's this peculiar package over here that you just wrapped?
What is in it, you say?
Yes.
Well, it's for you.
Looks like a garbage pail.
Well, now, do you think I'd give you a garbage pail for Christmas?
Yes.
Or is that your idea of a Yuletide joke?
Of course not, but what's in there?
Well, I don't know why I'd tell you that. That spoils it. Yes. I don't think people should open their gifts until Christmas. You know, there are more and more people who just do not have the patience to wait until Christmas.
Yes, I know what you mean, Fanny. They open them on Christmas Eve.
Well, they open them before that, even. Some
yes.
people I know.
They're better to exchange them, I reckon. Oop.
Well, now, look. Now, that very expensive wrapping paper there that you're
yes.
using as filler.
I didn't mean to tear that
off. Why don't you run downstairs and do something down there? Because you are getting in the way.
All right. I'll be right back. I'm downstairs now.
Well, do something.
There's nothing to do down here, Fanny.
Well, come on up, for the land's sake.
Yes.
It was just a figure of speech.
Yes, yes.
By appointment to Crown Prince Ludwig, we have brought you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Wrapping the Gifts, was taken from Book XX Forget It. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. Instead of skiing information, we bring you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled High Noon at Home, is taken from Book 11, Chapter 7, 8, 9, and a footnote on page 15 of Chapter 9. As we look in on the family now, Father is standing by the grandfather clock, and it's 5 minutes before noon.
Well, Fanny,
yes?
Pretty near lunchtime. 5 minutes to high noon.
That's right. Well, at noon we always have our lunch,
yes,
don't we?
Yes.
Kind of soup do you want today?
Well, I think beef and vegetables would be very appetizing.
All righty. Want any sandwiches or a salad?
Maybe a peanut butter sandwich.
Oh, really? Now, peanut butter sandwich with your beef?
Have you noticed how the sun has been bringing out the buds of the rose bushes?
What?
Huh?
What'd you say?
Fendi.
I heard that, but what did you say?
I said, have you noticed how the sun is bringing out the buds on the rose bushes?
Buds on the rose bushes. Yes,
but
I noticed that. Well, why don't you talk more plainly?
All a result of good pruning.
The way you talk, I can't hardly understand you from time to time.
If I had pruned those rose bushes when I did a month ago, they wouldn't be budded now.
They wouldn't be what?
Budded.
They wouldn't be budded?
They wouldn't be budded now.
Well, why don't you talk to... Are you going downtown today?
I burst in through for the bloom.
Oh, let's see. My word, I find you more difficult every day. Are you going downtown today?
This afternoon, if any.
Why don't you drop in and see the dentist there and see if he can tighten up your diction?
Nonsense. Fairly, that was back in book 6.
What?
Oh. Have you noticed the clock is pretty near ready to strike high noon?
High noon.
High noon at home.
You've been listening to One Fella's Family, brought to you instead of skiing information at this time. Today's episode entitled High Noon at Home is taken from Book 11, Chapters 7, 8, and 9, pages 12, and a footnote on page 15. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messy. This is a Messy production. Now, as an important Bob and Ray feature, we bring you another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Jack Changes His Plans, is taken from Book IV, Chapter X, page 4 through 5. It's mid-morning as we look in on the family, and we find Pop.
Henley, have you noticed that new crack in the ceiling?
No. Where is that?
See, right over there, by the alcove.
What would cause that?
Well, I don't know. Some kind of a vibration, I would think.
Well, those big, heavy trucks keep going up and down the street. What are they doing up there with all that structural steel?
Well, they got to do a superhighway. The steel must be for an overpass.
I wonder if we could go to the authorities and have them use some other street.
Yes.
So many of the old folks play on this street.
Yes. That old grouch down at the corner was out on his tricycle this morning.
He's wacky. He is as soft as a grape. He's been that way for years. What?
Yes. Is that the mailman coming up the front walk?
Let me look. Yes. No, it isn't the mailman. This looks like the boy that brings telegrams.
Yes. That's just who it is. And he's ringing the bell, too.
Telegram,
Fanny.
It's for you, I think.
Yes. For Father Butcher?
Well, it says Mr. You.
That would be me.
You want to sign this?
Here you are. Father Butcher. Yes. Thank you very much.
Oh, you didn't forget something, did you?
I see it's postmarked Honolulu. It's from Honolulu, Fanny.
It is?
Yes. No, I didn't... forget anything. It's from Honolulu, Fanny.
That must be from Jack, our son.
Better tear it open and read it.
All right.
Yes. Fanny... Jack has had to change his plans.
You've been listening to One Fella's Family.
Yes.
Brought to you as an important feature of Bob and Ray Stuff.
Yes.
Will you hold up the ears, please, so let me finish?
Yes.
Today's episode, entitled Jack Changes His Plan, was taken from Book IV, Chapter 11, pages 4 through 5. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messy. This is a Messy production. Picture Messy.
It's time for one of Aunt Penny's true-to-life stories. And this is Danny sitting in Aunt Penny's sunlit kitchen. And what's that you just baked there, Aunt Penny? It looks delicious.
Raisin cookies, Danny, and they're just lovely.
Mind if I try one while I sit back to listen to today's story?
Well, you certainly can. And that's one thing about these cookies, ladies. As with anything made with chicken fat, it's completely digestible.
Oh, Aunt Penny is right, ladies. You know that whenever you use chicken fat and you're baking or deep frying, you're really deep frying and baking.
That's right. And it is so digestible. They don't sit in your stomach like a half dollar piece.
I'm going to have a couple more of these raisin cookies, Aunt Penny, while you tell us what today's story is all about.
Today's... Why don't you have some cookies, Danny, and I'll tell all the folks about today's story and what it's all about.
Is that sunlight filtering through the Venetian blind too strongly in your face, Aunt Penny?
No, but doesn't it show how spotless our kitchens are
yes,
here,
Yes, and how light and golden brown those raisin cookies are, too.
Mm-mm. Aren't they wonderful?
They are delicious.
Well, Danny, you can help yourself to these and eat as many as you want, because if it's in chicken fat... It's digestible.
Well, now, what's today's story about, Aunt Penny?
Today's story...
I'm just going to have one more cookie before
Why don't you, Danny? Help yourself. That's what I say to all my friends. When you do cooking, if you cook with chicken fat, you'll find that it is digestible. And the things you cook with chicken fat won't sit in your stomach like a stopwatch.
That's right. Don't forget Aunt Penny's famous words, ladies. Help yourself. And now, Aunt Penny, today's story...
Today's story, Danny, is about two retired folks who live in a small town in New England. And the story concerns a Mr. and Mrs. Eugene Spatz.
And what happens to Mr. and Mrs. Spatz, Aunt Penny?
Well, Mr. Eugene Spatz, for many years, was a trusted employee of a bank in Boston. After he had accumulated enough money... He decided to retire in the northern part of New England.
In Metropole, Aunt Penny? In Metropole?
No. Why don't you dry up now, Danny?
All right, Aunt Penny. Let's get to the story.
So they decided to retire, and they went to a small town in New Hampshire. Well, that was only the beginning of their troubles, because...
Well, here's a small town in New Hampshire. Ms. Spatz
going to retire here?
Looks like as good a place as any.
Well, all right, let's pull up.
First, we'll have to go to a real estate office, I guess, and see what's available. Got all our life savings there in the glove compartment of the car.
That's right. So maybe one of us had best sit in the car.
Good idea, Miss Spatz.
I'll sit here and you go on in.
All right. Miss Spatz?
Yes?
Go on in where? We're parked right out on the highway here. No buildings around.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
It confuses me to think.
It kind of threw me a curve, too, Miss Batch.
See, we're all set to retire so nicely.
Maybe you better drive right on into Metropole and... And see what's available.
Wasn't that car going speedy? That was going like 60, I declare.
At least that.
Yeah.
Well, come on, let's go.
Danny, I'll have to stop now.
Oh, you mean the story's over for
yes,
today, Aunt Penny?
Yes, this very well turn into a half hour, and we don't have that much time.
Don't you ladies forget what Aunt Penny always says. Help yourself.
Help yourself. Because if it's in chicken fat, it's saturated with fat.
Instead of the Rose Bowl game, we bring you One Fellas Family. Today's episode, entitled Afternoon Event, is taken from Book 5, Chapter IX, page 12, and the foreword. As we look in on the family, the afternoon event is about...
Sadie?
Yes?
Have you seen another red checker man? I seem to be one short here.
No, of course, I've never played those checkers.
Yes, you
probably have dropped it somewhere. Well, couldn't you improvise? You could put something down there.
Cookie,
maybe.
Yeah.
Chocolate mint.
It should be a red cookie.
Do we have any red cookies? We don't have red cookies.
Yeah. Well, if you have any red mints, cinnamon would do.
Sometimes you exasperate me. There you sit, playing that game all by yourself. Yeah. You always win.
Yeah. Well, one way or the other, Fanny.
Well, I know.
Either I win or my opponent, who is me, wins.
Well, I know, but what fun is there in that?
I try to outwit myself.
Do you succeed?
Seldom.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's encouraging.
Well, ever since Jack's news, the house has not been quite the same. I say, ever since Jack's news, the house hasn't been quite the same.
Well, I'm trying to write a note. If you want to talk to yourself, well, why don't you go into another room, or at least don't expect an answer.
Who are you writing the note to, Freddy?
The daughter.
Claudia?
Yes. Huh.
Where is she now?
India.
In India?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Where did she go over there?
Oh, it must be 3 years ago.
Huh. Well, was I told about it, Fanny?
Well, of course you said goodbye.
Huh. Some sort of foolishness this is.
Instead of the Rose Bowl game, we have brought you One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Afternoon Event, was taken from Book 5, Chapter IX, page 12 in the foreword. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. Rowell. Episode of One Fella's Family, brought to you as an important part of the Bob and Ray stuff. Today's episode, entitled Vacation Plans, is taken from Book 13, Chapter III, pages 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. We find Mother and Father standing just inside the door.
Mouth, announcer.
And we hear...
I completely lost the name of the title of this episode. What was it, announcer?
Vacation Plans.
Vacation. Sandy, we've got to get busy making vacation plans pretty soon.
Not old duffer.
Huh? What?
You're too old.
I've been on this program for 28 years now. And I certainly am no judge.
Never mind him. Get along with the script, will you, Daddy-O? Get the loot and get out of here.
Fendi, Fendi, Fendi.
Well, what are your vacation plans, Daddy?
Well, I was just thinking it's about time we decided where to go on our vacation.
Well, I don't have any idea. We went to the mountains last year.
We went to the seashore the year before.
Then we went to the mountains the year before that.
Before that, we went to the seashore.
In the mountains.
Doesn't leave in the seashore before that. Doesn't leave much place to go this year, does it, Fanny?
We could go to the mountains or the seashore.
We went to the mountains last year, and the seashore the year before.
The mountains before that, I think.
And the seashore before that.
Where's Hazel going?
Who?
Hazel. Your daughter, Hazel.
Oh, Hazel. That's a good idea, Fanny. Maybe we'd better find out where she's going.
Then we can make our vacation plans.
Yes.
You've been listening to One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Vacation Plans, taken from Book 13, Chapter 11, and several pages of that chapter.
It's better.
Thank you. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production.
This is the day we get paid, you know, sir.
Yes, here we go. Another episode of One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled Clam Chowder, is taken from Book X, Chapter VII, page 4. As we look in on the family, we find mother and father standing just...
Well, the rose bushes have never looked lovelier, Fanny.
The rose bushes to Fanny, and then...
I'm already into the script, announcer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The rose bushes have never looked lovelier, Fanny.
Well, they... It's an amazing thing that they ever came up this year, the way you kept pruning them all. Spring
beautiful
and
year for roses.
It was a good year, and they're late bloomers, aren't they?
Well, I've got them trimmed down now, so they'll be ready for the winter months.
Well, they're practically down to a nub.
They'll sprout green again come spring.
Do you know how to make clam chowder?
Is that what we're having for lunch, Fanny?
Well, I thought maybe we'd have it for dinner.
Clam chowder. Depends on whether you want it New England style or New York style.
What's the matter with our style? West Coast style.
You don't believe I've ever had any of that, Fanny.
Well, why don't we make New England style?
With milk and cream, you mean?
Yes.
Sounds all right to me.
Well, how is it you go about making that?
Well, first we've got to get some clams, I suppose.
You trying to be funny?
Well, you need flams for clam chowder.
Well, I understand that. That's as obvious as those rose bushes of yours.
Yes. Point is... Good year for roses, Fanny.
It was?
Yes.
Isn't that nice? But now about the clam chowder.
Late bloomers.
Yes. Your teeth are slipping again, Daddy.
Yes. Well, I'm going to see Dentist Tucker next week. But about the clam chowder, we need the clams and the milk and the cream.
Onions?
Onions, potatoes.
Would you dice those potatoes, do you suppose?
Dice them real fine.
What?
And you'll have a clam chowder fit for a king.
Clam chowder fit for a king.
You have been listening to One Fellow's Family.
Late bloomers indeed.
Today's episode entitled Clam Chowder was taken from Book X, Chapter VII, page 4. One Fellow's Family is written and produced, definitely. Hi, and welcome to One Fellow's Family. Today's episode, entitled Heartburn, taken from Book 6, Chapter IV, page 12 and 2. It's mid-morning as we see Mother and Father preparing to...
Fanny, you know that sunburn I got a while back?
Yes.
And the windburn I got a while back?
Yes, I do.
I got heartburn now.
Heartburn?
Yes. What did we have for lunch, Fanny?
I'd try to think. What would give you heartburn?
I was trying to think, too. I had warm mush.
And jelly.
And tea.
That certainly shouldn't give you heartburn.
Not at all.
I wouldn't think so.
I haven't been eating between meals, either.
No?
It came on while I was out trimming the rose bushes just a few hours ago.
You haven't been nipping?
Fanny.
Well, you never know.
Well, you know better than that, Fanny.
Well, when right out of the blue you have heartburn,
I
begin to wonder maybe if you don't nip when you go out to the rose.
The only thing that worries me is that address I have to make on Friday.
Where are you talking this week?
With the Lions Club.
With heartburn?
I hope not.
You've been listening to another episode of One Fellow's Family. Today's episode entitled Heartburn, taken from Book 2, Chapter IV, page 12 and 2. One Fellow's Family is... You didn't like the script?
I thought it was fine, announcer.
Oh. One Fellow's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. And now another episode of One Fellow's Family, an important part of Bob and Ray's stuff. Today's episode, entitled Cablegram from Jack, that says he missed his plane connection in Hong Kong and that he will probably have to take a tramp steamer. Or, if he gets a hold of some real money, he'll take a luxury liner, if there's one in Hong Kong when he gets the money. If not, he'll just hang around Hong Kong and maybe buy a suit or something. It's taken from Book 15, Chapter 11, page 3 through 7. It's mid-morning as we look in on Father.
Fanny, have you seen the mailman yet?
No, he's a little late this morning.
Well, it's Saturday. Sometimes he takes a little longer on Saturday than other days.
Saturday? He doesn't usually deliver mail on Saturday.
Well, it's him coming up the walk anyway.
Maybe he's late.
Something special.
Oh,
doorbell.
Yes.
Here, I'll go. You wait there, Fanny.
All right.
Yes?
It's got a cablegram for you, folks.
A cablegram?
Yes, sir.
From whom?
Well, I didn't read it.
Well, thank you very much. It's a cablegram, Fanny.
Did you
Forget something?
No, I don't believe so, sir. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It's a cablegram, Fanny.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Fanny. We tear it open here and see who it's from. Why, it's from Jack. I don't have my glasses, Fanny. Will you read it?
Well, let's see. It says, oh, isn't this a shame? He's missed his plane connection there.
His plane connection?
Yes. And it says he'll probably have to take a tramp steamer. Oh, if this isn't a hint, he says if he gets a hold of some real money, he'll take a luxury liner.
Poor boy must be broke.
If there's one available in Hong Kong. If not, he said he'd just hang around Hong Kong. Well, I don't know. Do you have any extra money you could...
Sure you didn't forget anything?
Who's that, Fanny?
I don't know. It's a man with a...
Oh, the mailman. No, thank you very much. It was a cablegram from Jack.
From who?
From Jack, our son. Oh.
Well, what do you know about that?
It's a cablegram from Jack. I know that about it.
Well, we can't send him any money. He'll just have to hang around Hong Kong.
You have been listening to another episode of One Fellow's Family. Today's episode entitled Cablegram from Jack. It says he missed his plane connection in Hong Kong and that he will probably have to take a tramp steamer. Or if he gets a hold of some real money, he'll take a luxury liner. If there's one in Hong Kong when he gets the money. If not, he'll just hang around Hong Kong and buy a suit or something.
It'll cost him a fortune if he does.
It's taken from Book 15, Chapter III, page 3 through 7. One Fellow's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. Now, instead of a roundup of sports or something like that, we bring you another episode of One Fellow's Family. Today's episode, entitled Mid-Morning, is taken from Book 2, Chapter DLXIV, page 244. As we look in on the family, they're standing, trying to hold huge books.
Stanley?
Yeah?
The last blooming rose bush has just about lived its life.
I never heard you refer to the poor roses that way before.
What do you mean?
Call them blooming roses.
No, I mean the last blooms of the last rose bush.
Remember last year? They bloomed right up through Thanksgiving Day.
Fanny.
Yes?
Huh?
What? I thought you called me.
No, I was just ruminating on last year's roses.
Oh.
I'll have to be raking the leaves up within a few short weeks now. Getting ready to burn in the cool air of the fall.
What?
Huh? The leaves.
Oh, yes. Did you see the mail this morning?
No, I didn't know it had arrived, Fanny.
It's a very interesting package. Looks like it's from overseas.
Must be from Claudia. She's the only one overseas now.
Didn't Hazel go over there somewhere?
May have, but I thought she came back.
I don't think so. I thought she was way up in India somewhere.
Think of it, maybe Paul is over there. I haven't heard a word from the attic for several days.
Well, he went out one Friday, not too long ago, you remember, but I did think he came back.
Paul has a lot on his mind.
I sometimes wonder if maybe Paul isn't soft as a grape, Daddy.
Fanny. Certainly is warm for mid-morning.
What?
I said it's certainly warm for mid-morning.
Yeah.
You've been listening to One Fellow's Family, brought to you instead of a roundup of sports or something else like that. Today's episode, entitled Mid-Morning, was taken from Book 2, Chapter DLXIV, page 244. One Fellow's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. Alexander the Great speaking.
guess we all know what that theme means. Another episode.
What, sir?
You know what it means. You've been on the show for years.
Yeah, 28.
Another episode of One Fella's Family. Are you a little sick of it, sir, if I may ask? Speaking as a...
No, not really. I've kind of come to believe in the characters that I play.
Yes? Okay, well, let me get along with the announcement, because I'm getting a hurry-up signal from the engineer. Today's episode is entitled, The Children... No, that's not what he means. It's on fire here?
What?
Well, what do you mean by that?
On fire?
Well, I was going to say that this... We better cancel this episode altogether. Oh, can we go ahead with it? Fine. It's called, The Children Return Home. It's taken from Book V, Chapter II, no special pages. As we look in on the family, we see Father standing in the kitchen.
Fanny?
What?
You see my rose bush trimmers?
Oh, for the land.
Yeah.
Rose bush trimmers.
Just one or two bushes more to trim, and I'll be all through.
You have trimmed those roses right to a nub.
It's a beautiful morning here on the Pacific coast.
It certainly is lovely, but don't go near the rose bushes. We didn't have a rose all summer. Every day you go out and trim them.
Well, I suppose now that fall is just around the corner, the colder weather will be setting in.
Well, that's a profound thought.
Yes, and of course with that comes the opening of school.
Well, school's opened, you know.
Yes.
Opened this past week.
What did you say, Fanny?
School's opened this past week.
Well, what about the children at camp?
Didn't they come back from camp?
Don't think so. I haven't seen Hanky or Panky or Spanky or any of the others around.
How about Nicky or Ricky?
Well, they're too old for a camp.
Yes.
Hanky, Panky, and Spanky are Nicky and Pinky's children.
You don't say.
Fiddly, fiddly, fiddly.
And they never did come home then, did they?
Not that I know of.
Probably got a job up there at the camp.
It's very possible. It'll be a happy day when the children return home.
You've been listening to... Would you watch your signals, engineer, please? It makes it very difficult here. You've been listening to One Fella's Family. Brought to you... Not brought to you. It was sustaining. It was called The Children Return Home and taken from Book V, Chapter II, with no special pages, I'm told. One Fella's Family is written and produced by T. Wilson Messi. This is a Messi production. Would somebody help Father up off the floor? One Fella's Family. Today's episode, entitled High School Reunion, is taken from Book 12, Chapter 11, page 3. As we look in on the family now, the mailman is just departing.
Is any mail for me, Fanny?
Yes, it's the mail field here. Some for me, too, although I know this is from that salesman who dropped around.
Yes, did we get any confounded telephone bill?
No, it's not due yet.
Oh.
Well, you sure watch that telephone bill like a beaver.
Well, we had trouble last week.
Well, I know, but you shouldn't be so petty over a little phone bill. Life is too short, Father.
Fendi.
Oh, you're always crabbing about the phone bill, and I don't want any trouble today if we can avoid it.
Look at this.
Oh.
Stationery of the Centralia, Illinois High School.
Well, isn't that the school you went to?
Yes. Many years ago, Fanny.
What do they want at Centralia, checking on your grade?
It's a subject for levity.
Well, I'm only trying to make a little fun here. Life can be such a bore with you that I try to lighten it up a little bit.
Yes. Let me read what it says. Dear alumnus.
Well, that's not your name.
Well, it's addressed to me. Look at the envelope.
Well, maybe they put the wrong
letter. Henry W. Butcher.
But maybe they put the wrong letter in the envelope. I've heard of that happening so many times, where a fella writes two letters and has two envelopes and puts the wrong letter in the wrong...
Nonsense. Sure. Yeah. It goes on to say, you are invited to a reunion of the high school class of 1895.
Holy cats. Is that when you got out of high school?
Has it been that long?
1895.
I guess they did get the letter in the wrong envelope.
Well, certainly.
It was a class of 1890. Great Scott, Fanny. It was 1895.
You graduated from high school in 1895. Where are they going to get together?
Back there, I guess. Back in...
What's it say? It's being held at the Peppermint Lounge?
That's a disgusting turn of events.
You've been listening to One Fellow's Family. Today's...
Just a minute, announcer. Where's the real announcer? You're the engineer.
He got sick. I'll be engineer when I come in to sign it off.
All right, go ahead.
This thing was called High School Reunion and was taken from one of the books that the fellow who writes these things has written heretofore.
T. Wilson Bessie. T. Wilson Bessie.
Heretofore. T. Wilson Bessie wrote it. It's a messy production. And this is Gil Arion, your engineer, saying so long for now.
Now it's time for another episode of One Fellow's Family, brought to you by the Police Radar Unit. Today's episode, entitled At the Seashore, is taken from Book 16, Chapter 5, page 11. As we look in on the family now, Mother and Father are preparing for a picnic.
Yes. You got the stuffed eggs, Fanny?
What?
Have you got the stuffed eggs?
No, they're deviled.
What's that you say?
The deviled eggs.
Oh, yes. And the celery, pickles, olives?
Yes.
Mustard?
Yes.
And the sandwiches.
Yes.
Yes. Guess we've got everything in our basket now.
We're going to walk down, or...
Why don't we walk down the gravel path to the beach?
All right.
So close, we might as well.
There was an important-looking letter inside that came today. I thought maybe you'd want to look at it.
Letter from whom, Fanny?
Well, I didn't open it. It was addressed to you.
Well, I think maybe I'd better wait and open it after we come back. It might be bad news. Wouldn't want anything to interfere with our enjoyment of our picnic at the seashore.
No. Well, let's go out the back door.
Yes, Fanny, Fanny, Fanny. Water looks mighty blue today.
I was going to say it looked green. Now, isn't that funny?
Looks mighty wet.
Well... Look out there. All those pretty birds.
And those little sailboats bobbing up and down on the horizon.
Little grapefruit halves are bobbing there in the ocean.
Wax paper with jelly on it.
Yes, it always a pretty sea. Kind of makes you want to go down to the sea in ships.
Well, we're almost there, Fanny.
Yeah.
Where?
Almost where?
Almost to the beach.
Well, let's sit down now and enjoy our lunch here at the seaside.
As we open up our picnic.
You've been listening to another episode of One Fellow's Family.
Excuse me, aren't you the engineer?
That's right.
Well, where's the announcer?
Get picked up on a radar trap. Today's episode was entitled At the Seashore, and oddly enough, this episode was presented by the police radar units. It was written and produced by the late, great T. Wilson Messy, and a Messy production. And now, this is your engineer in charge of maintenance, Gil Arion, saying so long for now, and 78.
transcription. We have a tape here of an interview we made earlier this week. It's what we call an open-end interview with the star fullback of the Little Rock, Arkansas professional football team, the Lancers. Is that right? Is this Frank Fonsicle? Is this what we did, Ray?
That's right, and he's a quarterback professional football team.
All right. I had fullback.
No, he's a quarterback. He calls the play.
Will you start the tape, please? Frank, it's a pleasure to have you here in the Bob and Ray isolation booth. How long have you been playing pro football?
Well, that's when the end goes out, and you take a beat and draw in the tackle, and then go through, and for the first down, and you hope it's, you don't get more than 2 or 3 yards on a play like that.
No trouble. Frank, tell me this. Your team has showed up pretty good so far this year. What was the outstanding game, do you think, in your mind?
1938.
That's the answer to the when he started, I think. Frank, I'd like to ask you just one question.
Hello there. It's a pleasure to be here. And if you have any questions about football, you go ahead and
roll that back.
I'll try to answer them for you.
Answer if you can. Yeah. Now we got it straight. Frank, tell me this. What do you think your toughest game this year is going to be yet to be played?
38.
The same one, the same track. Frank?
It's a pleasure.
And, well, our time is...
Fire away with any questions, and I'll be very pleased to answer them.
Running a little bit short, we've been listening to quarterback Frank Fonsicle of the Little Rock Lancers, and just a final goodbye, Frank, and thanks for being here.
38.